Today on the AV Podcast, or unofficially, part two of the After the Dance episodes based on the Last Dance documentary about Michael Jordan and the Chicago Bulls, I'm joined by the original podcast guest member, Big Brother Curtis, and from the My Story podcast series, future California Golden Bear freshman Jalen Celestine joins the show as we break down our thoughts and views on episodes 3 and 4 of this 10-part docuseries. We break down the wildness of Dennis Rodman, if the bad boys are properly respected, and a whole lot more. South Survive is available wherever you listen to your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, and Stitcher. It's just some of the places that you can hear all of the shows on South Survive Radio. Listen, rate, review, and subscribe. Don't be afraid to give me that 5-star support. Thank you very much. I appreciate you. DJ Khaled voice. And to jump into the rest of my catalog, make sure you subscribe to SouthShoreAv.com. Once again, that's SouthShoreAv.com. And also, don't forget to check out part one of the After the Dance episode, which was released last Tuesday. All right? It's the AV Podcast with Cal C on South Shore Ave Radio. Here we go.
Welcome to the AV Podcast with Cal C on South Shore Ave Radio.
Welcome to the AV Podcast. My special guest, or my first guest today, is a longtime, well, first guest member that I ever had on the South Shore Ave Radio. He goes by the name of Big Brother Curtis, and he's here to talk about the Last Dance episodes 3 and 4 of the documentary. How you doing today, Curtis?
Great. What's going on, man?
What's going on? And my next guest is the one of the two stars of the podcast journal series called My Story that's on South Shore Ave Radio. He is a senior finishing up his last year at Long Island Lutheran. The last time he was on My Story, he was explaining how he made his decision to go to University of California on a basketball scholarship, and he's heading there this fall. So ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Jalen Celestine to the show. How you doing today, sir?
I'm good, Uncle Cav. How you doing?
Good. I know we're here to talk about this documentary. I'm just going to get pretty much right into it right now. I'll start with you, Jalen, actually, first, because I kind of want to hear your opinion on this, being that, you know, you didn't grow up during these times. But what were your thoughts on the last two episodes?
I really liked it. It wasn't anything I didn't already know, because my dad and my brother, like, they used to always watch those kind of documentaries on NBA TV Canada. So I knew most of the stuff that was going on, but Dennis Rodman was definitely a character, and it was cool to see like his perspective of it.
What about you, Curtis?
I loved it. I actually enjoyed it more so than the first two episodes.
Okay.
I think the episode 3 with Dennis Rodman, the focus on Dennis Rodman, it took it to another level, because he's, like Jalen just said, he's just so fascinating. I was like glued to everything that he was doing, because he's so out of the box and so different. It was good. It was good.
And he had a rough childhood too, right? Like coming from the fact that he was like homeless, you know what I mean, at one point in his life, mm-hmm. and you know, ended up going to like what school? Was it a junior college you went to, or NAIA college?
I think it was a D2 school.
Might have been, yeah. And to go from that to being, you know, into the Hall of Fame, like at that point when he was homeless, who would have thought that would have happened, right? Like that's an incredible story within itself.
Yeah, it really is.
I kind of liked how they got into the whole bad boy stuff, which was necessary for Jordan's career and the Bulls. I also love how they started showing how Michael Jordan's toughness started lending itself over to guys like Pippen, Horace Grant, and even B.J. Armstrong, which a lot of people forget about during that first run, because he was a quality role player on that team too. And I actually thought it was really interesting the way they broke down Phil Jackson's journey to being a head coach. Like picking up so many different philosophies along the way, and which made him more relatable to deal with so many personalities. Like just the fact of him just staying calm, kept that team calm and focused, reaching their goals. I'll ask a quick question here. Any you guys can answer. Do you guys think that, well, I guess this is more for Curtis because you would have remembered this during this time, but do you think that the Bulls would have beat the Pistons in 1990 if Pippen didn't get his migraine?
I attribute that to, I think so. And I attribute that just to pressure on the moment. Mm-hmm. I think the migraine was really due to that pressure. But it was good. The insertion of the Bad Boys run was good. Like you said, it was great. I think Isaiah, for a Hall of Famer who was like top 3 point guards of all time, he's always seen as a villain, you know? Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think he deserves a lot more credit because that guy was just so badass. He was so good, you know? So and what was crazy too is for me is to see after all these years that Jordan is still harping this hatred for the Pistons, mm-hmm. even after all these years. So I was kind of surprised that I thought that was kind of, to me, honestly, kind of petty.
And you know what? And thank you for saying that because we didn't consult each other in terms of what we're going to talk about. But I got to defend the Pistons here. And I can't believe I'm even saying this because I used to hate them when I was younger. But just how they review growing up in my eyes, you know, coming up back in, you know, when I was a youngster watching basketball, you know, the only thing that was on TV was the Lakers, the Celtics, and I think sometimes the 76ers, but really during like when I was like 7, 8, 9, 10 years old, it was really the Lakers, the Pistons, sorry, the Celtics and eventually the Pistons when they got to that contender level. But the way they were portrayed, especially during that time, it really helped cultivate what you thought about them during those times. Because I hated them. I hated, like, I loved every one of their players. Like, I loved Isaiah. I loved Dumars. I loved Rodman, Sally.
And it probably perpetuated the Bulls' allure during that whole time.
Yeah.
Because everybody hated the Pistons so much.
Yeah.
Right.
And really and truly, like, it's funny. Not until, like, probably I would say about maybe, like, a few years ago. I don't know if I think they might have had, like, maybe like a Pistons week or something. They were showing a bunch of the games from the Bad Boy games on NBA TV. And I just sat back and I watched a couple of their games. And I'm like, yo, they're like an underrated champion, man. Because the way they played, I mean, everybody remembers the fact that they beat the crap out of you. But like they were so technically sound defensively.
No, their backcourt was, that was one of the all-time great backcourts.
Absolutely.
Dumars and Isaiah. Yeah, you know, those dudes were ridiculous. Skill sets were crazy high. Like they'll beat you up, but they'll skill you to death with the guard play.
Yeah.
And then Vinnie Johnson would come on the microwave as well.
He's a forgotten guy too because he was a beast.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. They had some skill players, man. That's good. Yeah, and even Lambert. Like as much as Lambert was a bully, that dude was one of the first bigs to step out and be hitting threes and hitting long twos. Mm-hmm. Again, another skilled player.
Yep. Yep, and he made a couple of All-Star teams too.
Yeah,
that's the joke of it. So it's
who,
like
Lambert?
Yeah. He made a couple at least, like two at least, you know. And mm-hmm. yeah, like the guy, like but when you look at the way they play, like offensively, they were so smart and so efficient the way they played. On top of being creative, like their backcourt and everything else, and you had guys like Rodman, who I think like really at that time was almost. I can't even compare a defender to him during that period in time when he was at the Pistons because he was like he can guard everybody, you know. When he was in Chicago, like you know he can guard probably like the threes or the fives, maybe sometimes the twos, depending on the night or the switch, you know, on a pick and roll or what have you. But like during those Bad Boy days, that guy can guard 1 to 5, like easily. Like you see highlights of him guarding Magic Johnson, like picking him up full court. As a small forward, which is crazy.
In all honesty, I would say the Pistons couldn't win without him. And when he got to the Bulls, I would actually say the Bulls probably couldn't get over the hump without him.
Absolutely.
Either. That's how important he was.
And then we always forget guys like James Edwards and you know like John Sally. Like I know people rip John Sally, and he was like the butt of jokes for a while in certain sports shows. But that guy was a talented.
He was a talented player. Yeah. High level garbage player. And that's a compliment. A lot of people think when you say garbage, they think, you know, you ain't shit. But mm-hmm. no, that dude was a high level garbage player for all you ballers out there. You know what I'm talking about? You know, he gave you the rebounds. He played defense. And he'll finish for you. you know.
Yeah, and then you had, like, you know, the Mark Aguirre trade, and they picked up Mark Aguirre, who was an all-star at that point in time, and he sacrificed himself. But even before him, Andrea Dantley was a guy that you didn't play with. He's in the Hall of Fame too. But I think the other part of it too is, and you know, if I think people are probably catching a lot of, like, the social media interviews and stuff with Isaiah Thomas, been making the rounds on ESPN all day, and you know, and he's talking, like, he's basically having to defend himself. And honestly, I'm at the stage now where I actually feel sorry for Isaiah Thomas, because anytime Isaiah Thomas is talking about the Pistons and his story, he always has to, like, defend himself. He always has to defend. He has to come from a position of, like, putting his dukes up and defending. Like, even today, almost everything he had to, like, explain himself and explain what happened and how they were disrespected in certain ways. And, you know, because even that whole thing where they walked off the court, you know, like, he was saying, like, the reason why they did that is because between the games of Game 3 and Game 4, when they're about to get swept, Michael Jordan came out to the media and was basically trashing the team, saying they, you know, they weren't good champions. They didn't deserve to be champions. They're terrible people. The city of Detroit ain't shit. So basically, when they lost, they were just like, all right, well, F you. You know, we're not shaking your hand. Like, that was their approach. But, and then it's funny because when I was younger, I remember when Boston did that to Detroit.
Like, I know. Well, I remember that.
Like, yeah, I remember you remember it better than me, but I remember that. Like, when Larry Bird and everybody walked off the court. So it's funny to hear.
Passing of the torch, and they didn't want to accept it. Same way.
And then for Isaiah Thomas, like, you know, I mean, you know, nobody's ever really confirmed it for sure, but you know that was the reason why he got left off the Dream Team, which was, like, that. I think to me that's, like, one of the biggest, worst mistakes in the history of sports.
Yeah, to be honest with you, that Dream Team non-selection on Isaiah, who was the second best point guard in the league, to me, there's always a little hate for Jordan and Pippen because of that. Mm-hmm. Because as much as I love Jordan, not having Isaiah get on that team, that was just, you got to put shit aside, man. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. When it comes to ball, you got to put shit aside and just go out and play. Like, I played games with guys I hate. You just play it, you know, because sport is sport, right? Mm-hmm. And to get politics and bullshit, animosity, get between a guy like Isaiah Thomas, a Hall of Famer, not being on that team, that Dream Team, that's an insult to basketball, to be honest with you. And then on top of it, you had Bailey as the coach.
I know. You forgot, like, about that too. They took the coach. They took the coach from that team, and they didn't take the best player. That's crazy. And I mean, Jalen, because I don't, you know, I know you've seen the highlights of Isaiah Thomas and stuff, but, like,
yeah,
I honestly, I don't know who can compare to Isaiah Thomas now in this day and time. I would say the closest two guys probably in the last 10 years that you can kind of compare him to is maybe Chris Paul. I know that's a lot of people compare them, and Kyrie Irving. He's like a combination of the two, but, like, you honestly, you would choose Isaiah. And we're not saying that because, you know, we grew up watching him. Like, Isaiah was...
He was that good?
Oh, my God. He was, like, to me, other than Magic Johnson, who's my favorite player, other than Magic Johnson, he's the best point guard I've ever seen in my life. He was he was amazing. You know what I mean? And I mean, the proof is in the pudding, too. I mean, what other point guard, now you've seen Steph Curry in him, but, like, other than Steph Curry, like, what other point guard led their team to back-to-back championships during that, you know, the last 25, 30 years? Nobody.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it was him. Like, he was, like, everything for the Pistons on top of all the talent they had, you know?
And even going back before that, Indiana University, he won as a freshman.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. That's true.
He led that team, you know, he was by far the best player on that team as a freshman. He led them as a freshman.
And it's funny, because you're hearing today, like, even Jordan says, like, yo, that's the second best point guard in the history of basketball too. Like, even he says it. But you know what's funny, what I liked what they got into, because I know, if I remember correctly, I swear, Jalen, you got recruited by Mark Price at one point in time, right? On, I don't know what team it was.
Like, sophomore year.
Okay, yeah, your sophomore year.
I was in North Carolina, yeah.
Yes, okay. Because I'm kind of glad they brought up Cleveland, because, I mean, Cleveland was a good team. They were great, but I'll ask Curtis right here. Like, just explain, like, how to the people basically who are Foods Forgotten, how nice Mark Price was and Ron Harper.
I'm about to say Harper. People, Harper was, before his knee injury, I think he was the second best two guard in the league after Jordan.
Really?
Yeah, that's how good he was. I thought at the time. I personally, second best two guard, scoring guard in the league, was I thought it was Harper. He basically did everything that Jordan did. But he was just a little smaller, but he did everything that Jordan did. Mm-hmm. He was tough as nails, too. And not Mark Price, like, boy can play ball, you know? Mm-hmm. Enough respect from you know, from us coming from growing up with looking at that as black ball players as our heroes. There was a couple of white dudes who you tipped your hat out to, and that was Bird, Mark Price.
Chris Mullin.
Yeah, Chris Mullin. Petrovic.
Petrovic, yeah.
Tom Chambers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was definitely a few. Like, it's funny, Jalen, when I heard you got recruited by Mark Price, I know at the time you're like, okay, you're a sophomore or what have you, but I'm like, man, you might want to hold on to that one just in case. Because I was thinking that just because, like, growing up, like, that was actually one of my favorite players. Like he was a guy that, man, I mean, he was probably one of the few
street
guys
game.
That was
he having. Had street game.
Oh, man. Like,
He
had the street in his game.
Oh.
Yeah. He wasn't typical run-of-the-mill white dude was running the point that you would think and see. He had skills like he grew up in New York City.
He was kind of like a Nash. He was kind of like a Nash, basically. He was basically like a Nash. Because you look at the stats, like, he had a period where he was averaging, like, 20 and 10. Easy.
Mm-hmm.
Every night. And honestly, he was the first guy I ever saw that split the double team with a dribble. I never saw anybody do that before. Maybe somebody did, but he was the first guy I ever saw do that. And I was like, it used to perplex me, like, training and stuff back in the day. Like, yo, how did he do this? Like, how did he split the double team on a pick and roll? That's crazy. Like, he was the first guy I see to do that. And, like a running jumper, running floater. Like, he was the first guy I ever seen really kind of master that in this game. Like, he was special. Just the injuries. Like, honestly, he was a Hall of Famer if it wasn't for the injuries.
Yeah. Injuries, for sure. Sidelined him. But wasn't he on the Dream Team? One of the Dream Teams?
Might have been maybe the second one, maybe.
The second one, I think he was.
Yeah, maybe the second one. So I'll move on to Dennis Rodman. I know you were talking about this before, Jalen, just the character. Like, so the question I asked for both of you, but I'll let you answer first. Like, how the hell does a player take a vacation in the middle of a season? I don't even remember that. That was hilarious. So, sorry. And then I guess the other question is, like, well, actually, no, answer that question. Like, what were your thoughts on this Dennis Rodman in terms of him even asking or taking a vacation in the middle of the season and making his trips to Vegas?
When I first heard that, I was shocked because, like, even at high school, I'm just in high school, and, like, it's hard to take a day off at high school. So I couldn't imagine playing with Michael Jordan, playing for Phil Jackson, like, all those, like, Hall of Famers, like, being in that circle and asking to take a day off to go to Vegas for 48 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's crazy to me. And to come back right away and to, like, still lead the sprints, like, the Indian run that they used to do, to still become first in that, like, all that, that's all, like, crazy to me. Really crazy to me.
That part was hilarious.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts, Curtis?
No, I mean, I think Dennis Rodman was who he was, but what made him special on the Bulls, I think a lot has to be given to Jackson to just kind of step out of the way and let him do his thing, let him beat Dennis Rodman.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was huge. How many coaches would let someone with such a big ego and sideshow do his thing and not try to pull in the reins? I think during one of the episodes, I said it's such a key, and I hope coaches, because I see a lot of AAU coaches and shit the bed when it comes to this. There was a part they said, I forgot who they were talking about this, but they said as a coach, let the player's talents basically stand by itself. Don't get in their way.
Mm-hmm.
As a coach, don't get in the player's way for his talents. And I see now a lot of coaches, they try to overcoach and they try to change somebody who who's got shit figured out on his own, and they're trying to build him into somebody else, trying to make him a 3-point shooter while he's a pure rebounder, shit like that. Like, just sometimes as coaches, you know, I've coached, and maybe I've been guilty of it myself, but you know, sometimes we tend to get in the player's way instead of letting the player just play and be himself. And that's what the beauty about Phil Jackson, especially when it comes to a guy like Dennis Rodman. He just moved aside. He let him take his 48 hours to go to Vegas, because he knew if he didn't, he would go to hell.
Yeah,
it was going to disrupt the whole team, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he stepped out of his way and let Dennis be Dennis, and they won.
And you know, it's funny because, you know, you got to touch on the mental health stuff with Rodman, right? Because I think that's a big part of some of the decision making that somebody like Phil Jackson would have made. Because, you know, being smart, like, you know, he would have saw that, because towards the end of his Pistons days, I mean, they touched on it on the documentary where he almost had like a mental breakdown. You know what I mean? Remember, like, he was at the facility with a shotgun. And, you know, I remember those times, like, he was going through like some heavy mental health stuff. And then when he went to the Spurs, like, and he was incredible on the Spurs. Like, people forget how sick he was on the Spurs, like, defensively and everything else. He made kind of like David Robinson. He took the pressure off David Robinson. And I think during that time, Robinson was like an MVP. Kind of like took that stuff away. And I remember like he bumped heads a lot with I can't remember who the coach was. It wasn't Popovich. I forgot who the coach was at the Spurs at the time. But he bumped heads with that organization a lot because they wanted him to be structured. And he was at a point where he just wanted to be free, you know? So I think Chicago really was the only team that could have taken him at that point in time. You know what I mean? They had not just the structure of like the locker room with Jordan and everybody else there being able to rein him in, but somebody like Phil Jackson to kind of oversee that. And he can kind of relate, because Phil Jackson was a free spirit himself.
And with that as well, again, this whole documentary, everybody's been shitting on Krause, but you got to give that man credit to have the genius to bring in a Dennis Rodman and see past all the naysayers, right?
Mm-hmm.
That he brought in a malcontent in the league that nobody else wanted to touch, and he brings him into the Bulls, you know, the prize team. He brings it. I mean, if that went sideways, the whole team gets effed. But he brought a guy like Dennis Rodman, knowing that he had a coach who can control him and two high-level players who he would probably respect and he could follow. And I mean, that was brilliant on Krause's part. Mm-hmm. As much as everybody's shitting on the guy, then during this whole documentary so far, the guy was brilliant. His chess plays were brilliant.
Yeah. What were your feelings on Krause, Jalen?
I mean, I just found him funny, like, He felt like he was in the shadows of Jordan and Pippen and all the other guys, but he did deserve some more credit, I think, because he's still, like my dad said, he's still, like, the person behind everything.
Mm-hmm.
But I personally found some scenes kind of funny, like when Jordan would make fun of him, or mm-hmm. the team would laugh at him dancing or something. But overall, like my dad said, you got to give him credit because he was, like, amazing at his job.
And I mean, you know, they're touching on the Phil Jackson stuff, too, like, I mean, to foresee, you know, the talent in Phil Jackson years before he had the opportunity to coach, because he was on his radar about 5 years before he even took the head coaching job. That's crazy. I never knew it was like that. Like, that's insane.
Yeah, he was playing chess. Like I said, he was moving chess pieces when other GMs were playing checkers.
Yeah. Too bad it went sideways the way it did, because really, like, it doesn't make sense why he broke it up. At least at the time that he did, because I think they could have went for another year or two before they, like, officially, like, the wheels came off. But yeah, I think, like, with Rodman, I think people forget just how great he was defensively. Like, it's funny, like, I think it might have been the first time they won, like, the 72-win team. I thought he should have won the MVP of the finals. I thought he played that well. He was such a disruption to the Sonics that, like, in that finals, that even more so than Jordan. Like, Jordan was great. Jordan was Jordan, but I thought he had more of a hand to do with the outcome of the series, just, like, taking guys out of the series. All the funny stuff he used to do, grabbing people's butts, doing all kind of nonsense and stuff, plus playing D and getting in your head. Like, I thought he took guys completely out of that series. You know, I thought his name should add the MVP on it. I mean, it's Jordan, so, he gets it. But, like, I thought he should have gotten it for sure, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I remember years ago having arguments with people, and I couldn't believe it when some knuckleheads were like, does Rodman deserve to get in the Hall of Fame? I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? How could you even argue this shit? Mm-hmm. The guy's like the best defensive player to me of all time. I wasn't privy to see, what do you call him, from the Celtics?
Like Bill Russell.
Russell. But from my generation, that dude was by far, there's not even anybody close to Dennis Rodman as a defensive player. And then you throw in the rebounds on top of it.
I know.
When the league was full with seven-footers, and the game was built around seven-footers and the center position, here's this 6'7" dude coming in averaging 15 rebounds and 6'10", leading the league in rebounds. Dude, the shit he did was just nuts. It was just crazy.
And he wasn't a big guy. Like, he was strong. No. Like, I remember watching a game where he was guarding Shaq. And Shaq, there was one point where Shaq tried to bully him, and he didn't move. Shaq didn't move him. So I remember that. I was like, oh my God, like, yo, how strong is this guy? Because he's not a big dude. You know, he's not like a Barkley or like a Mason or an Oakley. You know what I mean? Like, he wasn't like muscles on muscles on muscles. Like, this wasn't a big guy, but he was so, you knew he was strong. He had to be, to be averaging like the amount of rebounds he was averaging. He had to be strong. On top of all the energy that he had. But
I think, an important moment from yesterday, and I hope kids looked at it and said, shit, you know what? Maybe I need to just concentrate on that one thing.
I know what you're about to say.
What am I about to say?
When he said he went to the gym and just had his friend shoot, and he just practiced rebounding. Like, yeah. Actually, that's what he went to the gym for, just practice rebounding.
That's actually cool.
The guy would go to the gym and have his boy shoot threes and just rebound it and study the art, the technique of just rebounding. And I only say that because every kid now wants to put the ball in the hole. But every team needs people who can do that shit.
Yeah.
As unsexy as it is, you will get paid if you can play defense and if you can rebound the ball.
Yeah.
You will get paid. I don't care what anybody says, how the game has changed. Any coach right now would take a Rodman right now, like right now, at a drop of a dime.
Yeah, I agree.
In high school, in college, in the pros. Give me a Dennis Rodman, a kid like that, I'll grab him in a heartbeat.
But it shows you, again, because you don't think of these players as being like super smart and stuff. But I mean, I've never heard of that before. Who would even have fathomed something like that? Like, you know what? Just miss as much shots as possible. I'm going to study the art of rebounding. I'm going to study the art of angles and how these shots come off the rim, where it's projected to go. I've never even heard of that before. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, like, that to me is, like, it's things you take away with. I wish I watched this stuff. I wish I saw things like this when I was, like, your age, Jalen, or younger. Like, that would have been amazing, the inside. Mm-hmm. That would have been crazy. So, with you, I know you watched a lot of Jordan stuff back in the day or during his time. But, like, in this position now where you're about to go to Cal, like, what are your thoughts seeing Jordan back in his younger days as, like, a ball player? I know everybody associates himself with, like, the second three-peat and the fadeaway Jordan, but, like, just the early Jordan, early creative, super athletic, I score 35 points a game Jordan. Like, what are your thoughts on seeing that, like, different shots and different highlights of that and the mentality?
The mentality for one thing is, like, different. Like, I obviously, like, my era is most like the Kobe mentality.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I see where Kobe, like, my parents would always say that Kobe got it from MJ. And I can see where they got that from after watching this. And, two, like, I feel like people didn't give Michael Jordan's skill set enough credit. Because he's obviously, like, an amazing athlete. That's why, like, his nickname was Air Jordan, like, Air. Mm-hmm. But he was also, like, really, really talented. Like, even, like, his spin moves, like, how tight they were.
Mm-hmm.
Like, his pump fakes, like, everything. He was just so good that he was able to, like, cheat. Like, a certain thing, like, he would cheat stuff by just jumping. But he still, like, was still a freak of nature athletically and, like, skill-wise.
Mm-hmm. yeah, every like there was no wasted motion. You know what yeah. I mean? As fancy, as special, as creative as he was, there was no wasted motion. Yeah.
You know everything what I mean? Had a purpose that he did. Mm-hmm. And it was efficient, clearly.
Yeah. You know, for everybody that's debating about, like, LeBron versus Jordan, and I hate
Stop
that.
It.
I hate that debate so much. Like, I've never liked this debate, but... You know, and again, I'm a Magic Johnson guy, but I'm going to ask all
can
you.
Could I say one thing about that debate? And I people just need to stop it. And not because I'm a whole head and I'm a MJ guy or whatever. I love LeBron. But when Michael played in his prime, that dude, every time he stepped on the court, he took as much pride playing on the offensive end as he did on the defensive end. He tried to embarrass you defensively, mm-hmm. just like he tried to embarrass you offensively. Who the shit does that now? That dude, every time he stepped on the court, he looked at the best wing player and said, I want him. And he tried to embarrass them defensively. He sat down, he went low, he tried to get steals, he tried to punish you on the defensive end just as much as he did on the offensive end. And that's why you cannot compare the both. You can't. It's almost nonsense to compare. It's nonsense. It's actually ridiculous, and it's an insult to what the man did. And it's not. And people might say, "Oh, you're a LeBron hater." No, it's not. It's just that there was nobody like that.
Yeah, the closest thing defensively to that since that time, honestly, is probably Kawhi. Kawhi's probably the only one where you can't, like, you know, in his prime defensively, you couldn't even go on his side of the floor. Like, that was Jordan. Any guy that got the ball in the low post was either going to get stripped or get blocked if he was on that side. Just period. But what I was going to ask you is, I was going to put the question on that, and I put some stats to this. For the love of the Lord, does LeBron James have any season that matches Jordan's 88 season? So just to go over the stats really quickly, Jordan averaged in 1988. It was the first time he took the Bulls to 50 games. I have to look this up. He averaged 35 points a game, 5.5 rebounds, six assists, shot 53% from the field, 84% from the line. Yeah. He led the league in steals, averaged 3.2 steals a game, averaged 1.6 blocks as a guard. He led all guards. And he won the MVP. He won the regular season MVP. He won the All-Star Game MVP. He won the Dunk Championship and Defensive Player of the Year all in 1 year. Does LeBron James have anything that can match that? I say no.
I don't think anybody else in the history of
basketball. I don't think anyone can match that one.
But the point I'm making is, like, that was, like, in a super incredible year. But if you look at Jordan's stats, like the guy's career average is 35-6. He did this all the time.
And hold on. That was, we're going back to the days as you. As the Last Dance shows, that era, you got your ass whooped.
Yeah.
The physicality was ridiculous. For him to put up that type of damn numbers and still be... We all played ball. So I remember playing pro in France for a little bit, and they wanted you to play as hard on the offensive end, and then on the defensive end, they always wanted me to guard the American, the other import. Mm-hmm. And that shit was like... as hard as shit. And I'm playing like second, third division France. And that was hard as shit to do. Mm-hmm. There wasn't NBA players.
Yeah.
And they wanted me to guard like the best guy on the next team to import. That was hard as shit. Mm-hmm. I can't believe, like, Jordan did that shit year after year, and he was still the best defensive player and by far the best offensive player. Man, you can't compare. You cannot compare the beat down he got from the offensive end, then still had the gall to get up and play defense as he did and lead the league in steals. And then, yo, that dude, there's a lot I don't, off the court, there's shit like I've seen in the video. I think the Krause thing, the making fun of Krause thing is, you know, it was almost like bullying kind of thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't like to see that. I hate the Isaiah thing, you know. But what he did on the court, you can't compare what he did on the court. You know, the price of his sneakers being so costly and kids getting killed, and he never showed that he really cared and all that. He can go on some political side of outside of basketball from what he did, but from what he did on the court, man, stop comparing. Stop comparing.
To anybody, really. Not even just LeBron, but anybody.
Yeah, stop comparing. It's nonsense.
Because the thing is, we'll know. Like, if somebody comes along that's on that level or higher, we're going to know. Like, we'll know right away. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? Like, we'll know right away. And it's hard because then you look at it again, 6-0 in the finals. Like, you just can't. You beat Magic, you beat Drexler, you beat Charles Barkley in their prime. You beat Karl Malone and Stockton, Gary Payton, like all Hall of Famers you met in on the finals, and nobody won when he finally started winning. Nobody won. Nobody ate. The only one that ate was Akeem. That was it. You know what I mean? And like nobody else ate. It's hard to compare him really and truly to anybody. And like I said again, I'm saying this as a guy that idolized Magic Johnson. Like, idolized Magic. Yeah. But, you know, but with that being said, like, I could give the respect where it's due. You know, it is what it is. That's why it's fun watching this. You know what I mean? Because it's just, like, to see the little bit of the backstories and stuff of certain things. And just to get insight. Because isn't this what we wanted? Like, yeah, we're seeing Jordan as, you know, people might be shocked that certain things Jordan was doing, like, off the court and, you know, comments and different things of that mentality. But to me, isn't that what you want to see? Like, that's what this is for. Like, you know, you don't want to see the polished person. You want to see what went behind this mentality. Like, what drove this team, you know, these people. Like, that's what we want to see. We want to see the insight. You know, I'm loving this, especially in this quarantine time right now. Like, I'm loving this. Before we wrap up, what are you guys looking forward to seeing now? Because, you know, they're going to get into, like, I think the next episode is going to be, you know, when they're defending the title and then when Jordan retires. So what are you guys looking forward to just for the next couple episodes?
To be honest, I don't know like specifically what I'm most looking forward to. I'm just looking forward to like learn more about Michael Jordan, like that era, also because like I'm not used to seeing that type of like aggression like on defense and like how the bad boys would just injure people just so they wouldn't score. I'm not used to that, so I'm just excited just to see what was going on like behind closed doors through all of that.
Mm-hmm. And what about you, Curtis?
I just want. I love all the dirt, like the crowd stuff. I love that. I love all the background. You know, the background dirt, which you didn't see. Cause you know what? Like, he's not a saint. Like, he's a god, but he's not a saint, which is funny, right? So I like the fact that he's being seen as a human as well, right? And he's got his flaws. So I like that. We've always looked at him as, you know, on this pedestal, and he's a godlike figure. He's bigger than the Pope. He's this, he's that. So this is it's kind of refreshing to see that, you know, he was a dick. Like at times he was an ass, mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You know, the way he treated people, like we knew about that, but it gets even further with management and all this stuff. And I like seeing all that stuff. It just humanizes who he is. You know, it's just the real, right?
Yeah.
But it's excited. I like I said, I enjoyed the last two episodes more so than the first two.
Mm-hmm.
So, if the trend continues, I can't wait for Sunday. And a couple of buddies of mine have sent me messages saying they've got the whole series already and they can send it to me and I can watch the whole series, and I refuse to watch it. I'm like, no, I'm waiting for every Sunday to watch the two episodes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't want any earlier clips at it.
I got those two. I didn't watch them, and again, by the time he even went to go look to see if it was working, it was gone. So as I said, the ESPN Michael Jordan lawyer police was already all over that. You know, there's no way you people are getting to watch that. Any link that goes over that is not lasting more than like an hour or two. But to me, I was like the same thing. I'm like, listen, man, like we got time. Like, why are you rushing to see that? And then,
seriously,
you know, like just wait it out. You know, like there's nothing but time right now. But this is amazing. Well, family, thank you for coming on this podcast today. It's definitely been a pleasure, yep, for sure. And I guess, Jalen, I mean, I didn't even think about this until, I guess, really and truly right now. But we probably should do like a My Story soon, you know, just to get your thoughts about this whole thing, your whole season, the year that you had, and just the quarantine heading into to Cal, you know, this fall. We probably should get into that soon.
Sorry? You could talk about me. I was shooting him in the driveway, too.
Yeah.
Jade outshot him in the driveway.
I believe that. I believe that. And don't worry, because we could talk about that, but it'll definitely get edited. So that part of this, that's not a problem. Not a problem.
We gotta bring the camera crew to the house, man. You gotta bring the camera crew.
No problem.
Put this shit on vid. All right.
Yeah, the shooting competition. Yeah. No problem. I will definitely make space on the editing floor for that. Not a problem. I got you. But thank you guys for coming on. It's definitely been a pleasure and having this conversation about The Last Dance. To everybody else listening, we're definitely going to be, you know, continuing to do this pretty much every Tuesday morning. You can expect to see this episode until the series runs out. I'm still going to be doing AV podcast episodes for sure. Like I said, we'll be doing a My Story at some point, maybe next month. We'll put that together. But thank you for listening to the podcast today. It's definitely been a pleasure. For everybody that's subscribing and tuning in, please continue to do so. Give me that 5-star loving that you know I love. And, you know, we're available on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, and Spotify. And for those that want to jump into the rest of my catalog, don't be afraid to go to SouthShoreAv.com. Once again, that's SouthShoreAv.com. For Big Brother Curtis and for Jalen, this is Cal C. And you've just tuned into the AV podcast on South Shore AV Radio. All right, until next week. Peace. We out.